Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. I am your host, Amin Alhassan. I'm joined, as always, by Jay Skills and Big Jerv. No Juju Gotti, no Trey Edwards today. They are out on assignment. But first, www.patreon.com/countthedings. That's where you sign up for all the extra content. Get this whole podcast out on the same day. Get the Cinephobe special edition episodes. Get the Rewatchingtons that we do on Cinephobe. Get the OG podcast in its full version. Get the ad-free version of podcasts. Get the Discord. And I'm really excited about this. The live shows are back. That's right. April 6th in Toronto at the Soho House. We've got a live show. We're going to be out there. Jerv will be out there. Jason will be out there. Trey, Zach Harper. You don't want to miss this. It's the triumphant return after 5 years off. We're coming back with live shows. In order to attend, you have to be a Soho House member. And obviously, you have to be in Toronto. But if you are not a Soho House member, don't worry. Because for our Patreons, we are getting a select number of passes. So another reason to join the Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. Sign up and maybe you get selected to come and watch our first live show in 5 years and hopefully the beginning of many more. All right, let's start the show.
Oh, man.
All right, let's see here. We've got a topic here on the rundown. It's been here for a couple of weeks, and I still don't know what it means. Kiss cam suggestions outside of sports.
I don't understand this topic.
I think I'm going to just create it up in my mind.
Is this a trade topic? Should we leave it for?
This is a trade here? Topic. Yeah, let's.
It's a trade topic, okay, but I think I had an idea. Okay, trade topic.
Just,
go ahead.
I just want to leave it for trade because yeah, we're not well versed enough in it. To
I need a setup. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
All right. What about acronyms you're too old for? I saw a post recently.
I saw you posted one, Jerv. Didn't you post one?
Is it like, hey, what they say now? CYM or.
Oh, yes, yeah. What the fuck was
call
that?
You back. Call you CYP, back.
CYB, something like that. Yeah.
I think
I posted that.
I don't know enough. We're not.
No, I think it was a trade post, and I thought it was funny, and I reposted.
Yeah, okay. This is another trade.
All right. Okay, so this is a good one. You get one last time to listen to a Diddy song. What would it be? I'm gonna say right now, man. I'm not stopping. Because I can't stop and I won't stop. I've come a full 180 on this, man. Like, I was one of the people like, I can't listen to R. Kelly, I feel guilty, whatever. And now I'm like, look, man, I'm gonna play the music I want to play and I'm gonna enjoy what I want to enjoy. It doesn't mean I support this person and I hope all bad things happen to it, but like, yo, I'm not gonna stop my enjoyment of the art.
I've also come maybe a full 180 on the I think to a certain extent the Diddy situation and the way it's been playing out in the media, and I've seen a few rappers kind of speak to this.
What are you on some? He was about to buy NBC.
No. I'm not saying that. But I mentioned this in the chat. Like, if this was Hugh Hefner. Like, what's the material difference at this point? Now, all the facts have not been presented, but the way that it's like in a very, and I'm kind of the mind of like, there is a targeted effort to divide and conquer and, you know, like make the few black billionaires like not have any kind of status in our society for whatever reason. Not like he was doing anything positive. So it's not on that tip. Like, I'm not saying this nigga was Marcus Garvey or Huey P. Newton by any stretch of the imagination, but he was just a nigga living his life. And that's what I'm saying. To me, it seemed like very much Playboy Mansion and all the things that this is my big gripe. And it's kind of past Diddy, right? We've gone to some weird, like, pre-puritanical society like mindset where I remember not too long ago, like even when you watch shows like Entourage and a bunch of shit, like niggas, the whole enjoyment of going to parties and the idea is like there's naked women and you could do drugs if you want and blah blah blah, and like this is a part of the fun of adult society.
Right.
And yes, it's technically illegal to have prostitution and do certain drugs and what have you, but this is the thing that most people are looking for. And one of the main reasons why I stated this is because there's a video going around of LeBron saying there's no party like a Diddy party. And like everybody for the last 20, 30
years. There is no party like a Diddy party, my nigga.
But it's a joke now, but I'm saying for the last 30 years, it was of the belief in like popular society that you want to go to a Diddy party because there's going to be all of this debauchery, fun, attractive women, what have you, at your fingertips. And now it's like the butt of the joke. And I'm kind of like, I don't get the joke. Like, is it because it's gay people involved?
Well,
like,
see, okay, so this is, I have an interesting theory about this, that black people only get outraged about things like this when it crosses a line, a certain line, right? For R. Kelly, it was underage women. Because if you watch Surviving R. Kelly, it starts with a lot of the underage stuff, but at some point, there's women there like 35 years old. And after watching both seasons of Surviving R. Kelly, what I realized was R. Kelly isn't a pedophile in the traditional sense of like he likes young girls. What he likes are people who are easy to manipulate. it just so happens the biggest population of that easily young. Manipulated people are young, young are young women, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Young girls. But there's a bunch of like grown women who should know better, parents who should know better, but because they were just soft in the head, he was able to manipulate them. I'm not saying this to absolve R. Kelly or whatever. He's a rotten human being. He should die in prison or whatever. But what I'm saying is, like, the part that outraged people, particularly the Black community, was he's talking to underage girls. If those girls were all of age, they were all of age, if they were all like the 35-year-old woman who was testifying in that thing, I don't think R. Kelly would have, I think he would have been straight.
But I think I won't say I disagree, because, well, actually I do disagree a little bit, because, and it kind of plays to my theory, I feel like there's a weird kind of changing of societal acceptance of things that it like ebbs and flows for whatever. But
do you think Black people are part of that?
I think we're the biggest part of it, because we all knew that his situation with Aaliyah when it happened, and it was talked about in very casual terms and like in a way that was like, it was casting aspersions on him, but not in a way that was like so detrimental. And then the video came out, and a lot of people saw the video.
Yeah.
And again, then we got the Chappelle thing where it was like, ha, 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 instead of the way that people are reacting to the Diddy thing. You feel me? So imagine that. Think of the difference in those exact scenarios. And it's like, huh? Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
The Boondock skit was summed it up. 1,000%, because
it was the jam. So so then that begs the question: if Puff Daddy had a number one hit on the radio right now, would niggas be feeling this way?
I would say here's my continuation of the theory.
Yes,
I would say they would not be as on him. But you know what? The thing that makes his thing again very radioactive, particularly Black people, is the gay stuff,
right?
And
weird, because we're supposed to be. In an era, right?
But I think there's a couple of things. One, he is of a generation that the most, like, look, let's be honest. Do 22-year-old people listen to fucking Diddy tracks? No, they don't care.
Right.
Just like last week we said, hey, do you think 24-year-olds care about Kendrick versus J. Cole versus Drake? No, they don't. This is for us, right? The same thing. Diddy is of a certain generation, and that generation is much more likely to hold homophobic views than...
Right.
Yeah. The Caleb Williams generation, right? That's number one. Right. I have to get that in. Number two, we're going to talk about that nigga in a second. Yeah, pause. Number two, though, is I think even though people are accepting, way more accepting of LGBTQ lifestyles now, I think there still is, at least in the Black community, a stigma about people who are in the closet.
Definitely. And
be gay, come out and be gay, we're cool. Yeah. But don't be in the closet. Don't be out here basically double agenting or whatever. Right. And so I think those two things, the homophobia of an older generation and then the still prevailing sense of like, yo, if you're gonna be gay, but don't be in the closet. I think both those things make him easy, quote unquote, to give up on. Or to kind of point the finger at.
Yeah, I think point the finger at is kind of more the lane that people are going.
Yeah.
Right or wrong with us, it works like this. When we are hearing the rumors or whatever, you know, we right or wrong, we have fun with the rumors and we let the rumors be the rumors and they just be the rumors.
Because let's be clear. Raise your hand if... Not the specifics, but like the kind of shit you heard about this Diddy stuff. If that's the first time you've ever heard that. Like no one raised their hand for the audio.
Yo, Wendy Williams told us this shit back in fucking whatever the fuck it was. The only difference now is, bro, and I said this to everybody. The difference now is that instead of it coming from Wendy Williams and she's saying that she knows, we're hearing people that are saying that whether the stuff's true or not, we're hearing people that are saying they were in the room.
Yeah, that it happened to them.
So, like, we're hearing the person that Wendy Williams would have got the information from.
Yeah. But
niggas owe her an apology too.
But then
I'm not really the biggest fan.
I go back to the whole like, but what happened, right? Like from what I'm hearing, it's like nobody wants to say specifics. And that's the other interesting thing, right? It's like sex trafficking is the big specifics.
I asked this question. What's the difference between sex trafficking and pimping?
It's not. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing.
Pimping doesn't get Homeland Security to come to your house, but sex trafficking does.
Right. And so that's what I think, that's the confusing notion. And that's kind of what turned this into a big, you know, firestorm. And also there's a whole other angle of like everybody wanting to get their taste and their bite off of a popular media story. So yeah. It's like if everybody's like, well, if I can get a little in on this, like, so, you know, big celebrity, little celebrity, whoever, it's like, oh, I was at a Diddy party. I wasn't. I got invited. I did. You know, like everybody's. Yeah.
It's the trending topic. Why wouldn't you put something there?
Yeah. Including, by the way, law enforcement. I remember when they cracked down on like Jim Gatto and all those guys in Adidas basketball for paying players. Like the actual case was mad weak. It's like you got like some low level middlemen and stuff like that. You didn't get any of the major players. You didn't get any of the big coaches. But they had this whole thing. They called it Operation Buzzer Beater or some shit like that. Operation Full Court Heave. Some stupid ass basketball analogy. And like the whole thing was like, oh, they're trying to make a name for themselves. Same thing here. Because I'm going to tell y'all what. We saw all those images of the raids in those two houses, right? We saw Diddy's kids in handcuffs, right? You know who wasn't arrested or put in handcuffs?
Sean Puffy Combs. He's walking around free in America. Like people were like, oh, he fled, blah, blah, blah. This nigga's in Miami hanging out with his daughter.
He's chilling.
Has not been arrested. So that, and again, I'm not trying to defend him. I don't want any of this across as a defense of who he is or what he's done. This nigga has done, I'm sure, enough foul shit to tip the scale 89 to 11. Like, right. I'm sure it's not close. So yep. I'm not in any way saying I defend who he is and what he's done. I'm just looking at the cultural implications and like everything surrounding it, you know? And it's just a very interesting way that it's being perceived based off of a lot of conjecture, really.
So let me just be Trey real quick. So to answer your question, is there one Diddy song that if you had to cancel?
It's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the Benjamins. This is the best song. And he only has one verse on most of his songs anyway, so we don't need to hear a lot of him rapping.
Is it all about the Benjamins?
I mean, because the other verses
is cold. That big
verse
is cold.
Everybody gets off. No.
Let me put the preference out here before we say anything. If I say someone's verse is cold, I'm not saying no one else's verse is not cold. Everybody back then, everybody for the most part was during this little run. Everybody was for the most part ripping shit or whatever. That's probably one of my favorite lines.
I think I've said that before on this podcast.
That was mine.
Fuck the state pen, fuck hoes at Penn State. My brain exploded when I heard that. I was like, oh shit, this nigga's the best. Yeah,
this nigga's cooking. This nigga's cooking. Yeah. To me, it's Victory. Victory might be the one song.
You're actually right.
Yeah,
because I think Big's verse was better.
I changed
Big verses, right?
There's
multiple Big verses on that, right? There's two of them.
He comes back at the end, but I'm gonna say this. First of all, that's a song that really tells me like, oh shit, man, we really got robbed. I'm not this nigga not living, because where he was going rap wise, like. Oh shit, like the nigga was already like great off of two albums. Then you hear that shit in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. You don't like me. Like, I was like, oh shit.
You heard of us.
You heard of us, the murderers, most shady, been on the low lately. The feds hate me. Oh my God. The shit that he was building right there, I was like, oh my God, he's about to take it to another level.
And bro, and how Puffy comes in on that song. Yeah. And it's funny because
that video was cold too.
I've said this before, like I was not a East Coast fan at all. Like I didn't fuck with nothing East Coast. Yeah. I was all Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Warren G, the whole shit.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer. And I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Tupac dies. There's like a lull where I'm like very mad at East Coast and like anything that's happening right there. You know what I'm saying? I never listened to Life After Death until I was like probably 16, 17.
Damn,
to like 2003, bro. I swear
damn,
to God.
I got that the night before. I was still mad.
I got it 2 weeks before it dropped. My roommate was a DJ. So he used to go to this place in Atlanta called Earwax. Earwax had all the vinyls. And so the earwax for like the DJs, I should say my homie was a DJ. He's just a vinyl enthusiast, I should say. But he, like, that's where the DJs went, the earwax. And so at earwax, like, they knew you. You come around a lot, they let you know, hey, we got this, by the way. So they sold it. He brought it back. I fucking dubbed that shit immediately. Wore that shit out, man. That first week on campus, 2 weeks before it came out, we were bumping that shit extra loud, windows down, stopping at every stop sign extra long. Like, this is the new big. Don't worry. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to.
That's how I felt when the blueprint came out.
I had the blueprint early. I saw that.
First nigga on campus with it, baby.
I saw that shit in my school, like, nigga, the first day of school. Actually, it was the first day of school I had the CD before. And that's how I got cool at Fairfax, honestly. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah. That was my
freshman year of high school was 9/11. Tuesday was 9/11, but the first, I got there like on a Wednesday or Thursday, and I had a backpack full of CDs. I had the Blueprint and Ghetto Fabulous, and I was selling them for $5 a piece.
Wow.
And I got cool. Both, those niggas was fucking, both of them dropped on 9/11. I never
on
forget.
On the same day.
So disappointed in that album, by the way.
I was just saying, when the video comes out, but I remember the song. When the song came out on the radio and the nigga Puffy starts, yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never. Business before pleasure. We did it in the van, we don't do it better. Yeah, right. No matter what, we had time. Like, bro, that nigga was floating, and that nigga cannot rap.
He's a terrible rapper. Do you remember the last line of that verse? I think that was the day I realized he doesn't write his own shit. I was like, that was big, right?
Big wrote that because Kiss wrote Benjamin.
Big wrote Victory, but you could even hear it the way it puts together. Because what he says, while they're making up facts, we're making up plaques. That's a big verse if I ever heard one.
Yeah,
but like that shit, and then you hear Big come in, man. And remember, like this was Big was dead, and unlike Pac, when Pac died, we just got a steady onslaught of all this unreleased music.
Right.
When Big died, Life After Death came out, and then I was like, that's it. Like, oh, shit. And I was like, oh, yeah.
They did a little bit with the Dead Wrong shit.
But that came later.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I'm saying in the immediate aftermath of his death.
Yeah.
And Tupac's immediate aftermath, we got Machiavelli came out, and then there was like Machiavelli 2, Machiavelli 3. There was all these Machiavelli mixtapes that came out
And then we got albums. We got the greatest hits is actually, I think, maybe his second greatest selling album, because that has changes on it.
Yeah,
but keep going, man.
Yeah, so there was a lot of Tupac content that kept coming out after he was dead, which, by the way, fueled a lot of the rumors that he's not dead, just because somewhere else. And they're like, wow, he rapping about this. Or like, my favorite one was like, someone claimed that they had a poster of Tupac and that he was wearing like the 13s, but the 13s hadn't been out yet when he got shot. How is that possible, right? So Big, when he died, Life After Death came out like, I want to see, 2 weeks later, maybe, or a month later.
He died March 9th. The CD came out March 25th.
There you go. Which, by the way, we just, I guess, passed the anniversary.
No, that was the thing, that when Puffy got raided, it was on March 25th. Anniversary.
Dun. But then after that album,
great song,
we didn't hear anything. We didn't hear features on other people's tracks that hadn't been unreleased. We didn't hear unreleased mixtapes or whatever. We didn't hear anything. So it was just like, damn, I guess that nigga was like just too busy enjoying life and like thought he had plenty of time, whatever. And then when like you play that Victory and like you said, like Puff comes in and I'm like, yeah, this nigga's never rapped like this in his life. And then you get In the Commission. Oh, and he's rapping. I'm like, oh shit. That was my mind blown moment. It was like, oh man, this nigga, he's here. And then to get the Benjamins verse, obviously we'd heard that one because they'd been playing for like the better part of a year when the album came out.
Because that came out before.
It came out
way before like Kim and all that shit came out. Like when they had, okay.
Yeah.
Then we got more money, then, yeah, yeah.
More Money, More Problems. And then Young G's. So he was on like four tracks in that
album. Love that fucking song too, by the way.
Young G's is a great song, man.
I'm going to tell you this.
That Lawyer's
Life. That's a good fucking album, yo.
A great album.
My bad.
No Way Out was it?
Isn't More Money, More Problems on Life After Death? I fucked that up.
Yeah, it is on Life After Death. Yes,
But
No Way Out is still a great fucking album. It's a
great album. Great album, man.
No, for sure. And so that's like the sad part. You know, obviously we went through this with R. Kelly, where we kind of had to like, you know, eliminate a whole discography, but not even that, like a part of the R&B hip hop landscape, such like a huge part of, you know, the 90s and in the early 2000s. And then when you look at Puffy, like that's the saddest part of all of this is like, no matter what happens, like, you know, I was texting my homie, like with the Cassie shit and everything, I basically told him like, it doesn't matter what you do to me. If you are one of those people who push your hands on women and beats up women, whatever God's punishment for you is justified. So I can't say, you know, whether he did everything they're accusing him of, but hey, bro, you did that to that lady, and that's not cool. So his whole thing is tainted, regardless of what happens after today. You know what I'm saying? Like how people are, you know, looking upon him, and that not makes only his thing tainted, but the rest of hip hop. Because he is probably more involved in hip hop. I don't know if there's another artist or figure that you can name. Is there another artist or figure that you can name me that's more involved in hip hop than Sean Puffy Combs?
Well, I would say R. Kelly was there because he wrote and produced for so many people, so many more people than I think. Didn't write for anybody. He produced, but his production is basically getting other producers to produce. But R. Kelly, it's like, yo, his fingerprints are all over, and it wasn't just R&B and hip hop. It was pop. It was like if you went and said, "I'm gonna take out." If that's why the other thing that made me like start playing R. Kelly music again was what I realized is a hypocrisy here, because if you went and you want to actually take out every song that R. Kelly had something to do with, you're taking out Lady Gaga. You're taking out a whole bunch of people. Like beyond our music, but we're gonna shame Kelly Price and not play Friend of Mine. We're gonna shame Ronald Isley and not play Contagious, but everybody else shit gets to stick around. I was like, nah, man, fuck that shit. Like the guy, he's in jail, he got caught. And by the way, whenever they play the shit, the proceeds go to the settlement to the surviving families. I'm playing R. Kelly, man, I don't give a shit. For Diddy, I mean, it still is a huge discography for sure.
Right, and he was an executive, and also like a creator. So, you know, we've got to throw making the band and all of his television work in that, you know, the Sean John of it, like he
Revolt.
So he was a trailblazer in a lot of different ways. And like
The Rock,
all of it, you know what I'm saying? So
a nigga still going to drink Ciroc?
I stopped drinking Ciroc a long time ago.
I mean,
it had nothing to do with Diddy.
Let me say this. I understand that everyone on this pod may not drink Ciroc. But we're going to be honest, when you go out, niggas is drinking Ciroc, my nigga. Y'all may not drink it, but niggas is drinking Ciroc.
This is
don't drink Ciroc. I don't drink vodka.
No, nigga. I know exactly what this is. This is Dirt putting on his tech fleece and his Air Maxes and declaring, I'm a man of the people. What are we going to do about this Ciroc? We just go get rid of all the Ciroc. I got sent the bottle of Ciroc in New York. We did a read or something. They sent me a huge ass bottle. Guess what's happening? I ain't pouring that shit out.
But Diddy's not even a part of that company anymore, and he's not part Revolt either.
No,
so,
man.
My ask was more so because he's not involved with it anymore. Or do niggas still fuck with Ciroc like that?
No,
I wasn't trying to get my man's banned.
No, I think that's what I love about also hip hop involvement in a lot of products is that when niggas get involved, they boost the sales astronomically. And then as soon as they decide to kick niggas out, the sales plummet the same astronomical fashion. Like the same shit happened with Yeezy and Adidas. Like everybody was wearing Adidas five years ago.
The number one example, Cristal.
That's what I'm saying. Jay-Z did it like five times.
Cristal used to, when I tell you, like, when you like, there was an era, 90s and early 2000s, where people walk in. You needed, like, if we're going to the club, we're getting bottles, got to have them gold bottles coming out.
Oh,
gold bottles. Mints, there it is. There's the gold bottle. Got the world, a bad influence, got the world drinking gold bottles. There it is. Puffs Jason didn't get the memo.
Spilling mo. I was at my video.
They call us. They called us niggas.
It's a 2005 bottle of Cristal.
They called
right
us
here.
Niggas. They were calling us niggas in 2005. Jason went and bought, like, oh shit, they're on sale now. But like that was iconic.
Yeah.
Every video, every big club, every big party.
Now it's Ace.
And now nobody even thinks there's about. Never been a harder. Maybe we don't drive X5s. We're giving to baby mamas. That might be.
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna tell you this, and this could be the Negro in me. You know, I didn't see that many 4.0s when I was young either. Around my way, I saw 4.6s when I would see the people out that make their moves to get them type things. I ain't never see a 4.0.
It's like they took them off the street. That's how it felt.
Oh.
I mean, Jay-Z.
And I'm pretty sure those was pricey vehicles too, my nigga.
Like, he's got to be the number one, right? I think he took it a step too far when he tried to do Death of Auto-Tune, but he gave us and took away white t-shirts.
He saved us from jerseys, for sure.
He brought in jerseys, took them out. He brought in the
no.
He was there when the jerseys was started.
Nah.
I don't know. I'm not saying he's the first
Fab. Fat. I just gotta put the respect on Fab's name.
Look, Fab took it to a level that nobody else was doing it, but he wasn't the one that started that shit.
No, I'm just saying the Mitchell Ness era, the era that we're speaking of, the of niggas rocking jerseys. Fab kicked off that.
I think a lot of Jay-Z trends ended up being championed more so by other people, other than the button up thing. I think that he was kind of the king of that. But like white t-shirts, Air Forces, you know, the whole thing, like everything we just said, jerseys, button ups, like he
rims.
He brought in a lot of that shit, but like Baby was the king of rims. You know what I'm saying? Like it was other niggas who was the king.
But he was the one that killed the rims.
Right. But it was other niggas who more niggas wore white tees. You feel me? Like it was a bunch of other niggas who did. More niggas wore Air Forces. Fat Joe loves Air. You know what I'm saying? Other niggas did all of the shit he did better and bigger than him. It's kind of like how people say Jay-Z was never the best rapper in any year. Like he wasn't never the number one king of everything, but he was always the boss.
I don't understand how you're the best rapper alive, but you're not the best rapper in a year. Like, that shit is wild. But I'm, you know, that's
it's like niggas that was given winning MVPs when LeBron was in his prime, but not
he still
LeBron.
Got some though. Like, the nigga still got some. He still got some MVPs. Like, to say the man to be the best rapper alive, or to be one of those individuals that people say is the best rapper alive. Yo, you're not the best rapper in the year. That's crazy.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Real quick, I want to talk about this real quick as the last topic of the show. Got a live show coming up. We haven't had a live show in over, what is that, 4 years? It's been five years. 5 years since we had a live show. We're supposed to have a live show March of 2020, and something happened. I can't remember. Oh, that's right. The fucking world shut down. So this is our first live show in a long time. It's in Toronto, April 6th. That's next Saturday. It is at the Soho House. If you are a Soho House member, you can register and show up to that. If you are not a Soho House member, we are giving a few passes away to our Patreons. So if you're not a Patreon, patreon.com/countthings, make sure you're tapped in so you're eligible to get access to our first live show in a long time. We're hoping this is going to kickstart our live shows again. But you guys are getting into Toronto later this week. How excited are you for this opportunity to bring it back?
It's going to be cold.
Is it? What's the weather supposed to be like? Is it chick cold or cold cold?
Yes. I need to check cold, the weather.
Like 46, you know, chick cold.
That's cold. Yeah, that's
cold. Okay. 46, to me, that's chick cold.
Yeah, but anything under the 50 is getting cold.
Yeah. So pack a motherfucking coat.
Yeah, I guess I should get a real jacket, but I'm excited. I've never been to Canada. Yeah, I don't own a real? Yeah, I've never been to Canada.
Oh, you're gonna love Toronto, bro. Toronto's a fun town, man. It's a fun town.
I love it there.
I hear. Yeah, I know some people out there, so I'm trying to get some recommendations. We only gonna be out there
for a minute.
What?
Oh, we're gonna get the smoke. Oh, this is epic. Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, this is awesome, man. I just made my motherfucking.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to meeting Jerv. I've never met Jerv.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, we've never met in person.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get to meet Jerv. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Y'all two have met?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, we met like a couple times. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Jerv, you got to get on a plane more often, man.
For real.
I'm looking forward to going to Toronto. It's been a while since man. I've been on a plane, brother. I love Toronto. Toronto's a dope town.
I got the preliminary guest list. It's pretty tight. We're not going to give away names. I'm just telling you right now. We got some names on the list. So, again, if you're in Toronto and you're a Soho House member, check us out. If you're not in Toronto and you're a Soho House member, it's not too late to maybe catch a flight or if you're close enough, drive. And if you're not in Toronto or you're in Toronto and you're not a Soho House member, again, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're tapped in. All right.
I just wanted to make one last comment on the graphic that got made.
Oh, my God.
Because I was like, is that me? And then I was like, no, that must be Jerv. And then I sent it to the chat, like, why y'all do Jerv like that? And then Mean goes, that's Zach Harper.
That's what they told me. They told me that's Zach Harper. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. In the words of my boy, Nate Jones, shout out Jones on the NBA. Nate said, hold on, let me pull up the exact tweet because this one's a pretty good one.
But that graphic was hilarious with everybody on the horseback.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, this is what Nate said. Only question is, why do they have Zach looking like the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude? They made Zach black.
Yeah, Black Harper.
Black Harper, exactly. So that but it should be fun. Everyone definitely come check us out. And like I said, if you are in Toronto or can get to Toronto, but you're not a Soho House member, patreon.com/countthedings. Hit us up, and we are going to be giving away a couple of exclusive passes. And by the way, there's exclusive merch that's going to be available only at that show. So I know you've seen the drop we had for our new merch store for a couple of the limited run stuff. there's a limited run something that's about to drop only at that show. So be on the lookout for all of that. For Jason Madison, for John Gervais, I'm Amino Hassan, reminded you all to stay black, motherfuckers.